Okay, well, we start a new lima tonight. This week, I'm only going to be here one tonight. I didn't want to try to push it on others. It's very confusing, our schedule, which contributes to the uncertainty. But anyway, this week I'm only here tonight, so I would like to, rather than give an introduction to the topic, just learn with you the Haftarah. Part of the Haftarah, as much as we can, starting from Vayivrach Yaakov. I know that in your Chumashim you have the Sfarad and Ashkenaz version. If you'll forgive us, we will do the Ashkenaz version, which is always longer, except in Parshas Vayetze. So it starts with Vayivrach Yaakov. You know that there's always a connection to the Parsha. Here it's an easy connection. Except that if you listen to the Haftarah, it sounds like it's just one sentence and the rest of it has nothing to do with it. So we just plug in the one sentence. So let's learn. I'll try to explain what's happening. Hosea is Elisha's Talmud. Elio had a Talmud Elisha, as you all know. Elisha had two famous Talmudim, Yaina and Hosea.
Elisha.
Well, I mean two famous Nevi'im that inherited his position. Yaina and Hosea. Hosea was a Navi for the most part to Ephraim, to the Ten Shvatim, which was the northern kingdom. And he gives them Musar in the second half of the Sefer regarding being Ovid Avodah Zarah. And here, in the middle of a Nevuah, he mentions Vayivrach Yaakov Stei Aram. Yaakov fled to Stei Aram. He ran. Actually, it was sent by his father. Vayavod Yisrael b'isha b'isha shomar, and he worked for a wife, and for a second wife, shomar, he guarded, he kept, he watched the sheep. Now, if you take out the Haftarah, it's not that bad. It starts with Yaakov, but actually, earlier in Perek Yud Beis, there are other points where Yaakov Avinu is mentioned, which is probably why Nusach Sfarad starts the Haftarah earlier. Earlier here in Perek Yud Beis, there are a number of references to Yaakov Avinu, maybe most prominently, Babeten Okav Es Ochiv Uba'ine Sora Es Alikim. In the stomach he fought with his brother, and in his strength he fought with the Malach Vayosar El Malach Vayuchol. And he defeated the Malach Bocha, the Malach Wefi, Ischananloi, etc. The reference to Yaakov Avinu in the way all the Rishonim here explain is that we know Ma'aseh Avos Simin Labanim, and a person who learns Sefer Bereishis is supposed to try to learn from it. And the fact that Yaakov Avinu went with nothing and came back not only with two wives but with the wealth is a sign of the Siyata Deshmaya, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu watches Klal Yisrael. The complaint here is to the way the Ten Shvatim evolved. And the Pasuk explains this. Let's start with the first four or five Pesukim. The connection, I'll try to explain the connection the way the regular Rishayim explain it. There are a lot of Sfarim on the Haftiris. The problem is they're not on the Haftiris. They have Drashas and Vertloch that have mentioned the Haftiris. I'd like to try to learn the Pshat, again, the way the Rishayim learn. That Klal Yisrael, the Navi is saying, look at Yaakov Avinu. He ran penniless to stay Aram, and he had to work there for a wife, Ubi Isha Shamar, and, 14 years, that's a long time to work for two wives. The rest of your life you work for your wives, but at least to get there. Ubi Navi Hela Hashem Es Yisrael Mi Mitzrayim, Ubi Navi Nishmar. And connected that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, again, helped Klal Yisrael when they were in Mitzrayim, and the Pasuk is structured the same way. Benavi Hel Hashem Yisrael Mitzrayim. Klal Yisrael, who had gone down to Mitzrayim, were then helped by Hashem. Uvenavi Nishmar. It corresponds to Beisha Shomar. Benavi Nishmar, that Kadosh Baruch Hu sent Moshe Rabbeinu to help Klal Yisrael. So you see that when Yaakov and then Klal Yisrael are in trouble, you rely on the Rabbeinu Shalom. And yet, Hiches Ephraim Tamrurim. Again, Ephraim is the northern kingdom. All of you know that the Ten Shvatim broke from the Yehud and Binyamin, and Ephraim angered HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a bitter way. V'damav olav yitaish, and its blood it's responsible for, v'cherpasa yashuv la'yadaynav, and the cherpa, the scorn, the ridicule, will be returned to him. Now, what this means, Chazal tell us that Yeravam in the Vat is the one who broke away, broke the ten Shvatim away from the other two. When he did so, he wasn't entirely wrong. The Navi had foretold that the ten Shvatim would break away from the two, originally for a period of 36 years. And at least in theory, Yeravam could have done it and still retained his greatness, as the Gemara says in Sanhedrin. The Baruch Hashem says, "Ani v'atov ben Yishai netayel b'gan Eden." The breaking away was not the thing. The thing was this. First of all, Cherpasa Yashuv La'yadeinav. It says that Yeravam was echen to Nevuah because he gave Musar to Shlaima HaMelech. He was right to give Musar to Shlaima HaMelech. What was the Musar? When David HaMelech put the wall around the old city, he left an opening, a breach in the wall, so that when people are Ilu Regel, and there's a traffic jam at Shar Yafo, and not everyone can get in, so there was a section of the wall that was breached where anybody could just walk in. It was a wide opening to the wall. When Shlomo came along, and he had this wife, the Bas Parai, presumably was Megayer, but there was a problem, whatever the reason was, housing her in the old city of Yerushalayim. And Shlomo was looking for a good piece of real estate that was as close as could be. And he chose the breach. The breach of the wall was perfect. He could build a castle, which was a palace, which is partially outside the wall, but opens into the city. And he filled in the breach. And Yeravam publicly criticized him. Yeravam put Shlomo to ridicule. And Yeravam was a great person. And he said, "Your father opened the wall so that people could be Ayla Regel easily. And now for this Bas Parai girl, you, look what you do."
And he was quite doing the same thing.
What?
The same thing he was quite doing.
Oh, so that's the thing. So, Cherpasa Yashuv Laya Adaynav. What? Who didn't? And Yeravam, sure they did. Sure they did. After Shlomo's death, Yeravam and Nevah broke away from the 12 Shvatim. So, the Gemara says he spoke to him, so he must have lived the same time. Yeravam did reprimand him. Yeravam ended up running away. He was afraid of him. And, what happened later is that Yeravam himself, when the ten Shvatim broke, and this is really the subject of this, Haftarah, is the criticism that when the Shvatim broke, Ephraim is the ten Shvatim, and, Rechavam, the son of Shlomo, was the two Shvatim. And now Yeravam said, I'm going to be a second-class king. Everyone's going to be Ola Regel. And in the Beis HaMikdash, Rechavam is the boss. First of all, it's in Yehuda. And secondly, there's a rule, Ein Yeshiva Ba'azara Ola Lamachos Beis David Bilvad. He's going to sit and I'm going to stand. So Yeravam, where he really could have been good about it and made a name for himself, instead, he opened up his own Beis HaMikdash, so to speak. He created two golden calves. Unbelievable to think that after the Midbar, you know, you can do it with golden calves, but he did it. He put one in Beis El. Rashi in Parshas Vayetzi says that Beis El is the border from the Ten Shvatim to the Two Shvatim. One in Beis El, which is the southern edge of the Northern Kingdom, one in Dan. And he started his own, the Jews had Sukkis on the 15th day of Tishrei, and he had his Sukkis on the 15th day of Cheshvan. In the beginning, he couldn't compete. You know, some people were going to the competition, so he had to have his own day. Eventually, he put guards on the road and didn't let Yidden be Ayla Regel. So here, he criticized Shlomo HaMelech for making it difficult for people to be Ayla Regel, and then he himself fell to the same Avera. So there's an idea that the Chafetz Chaim writes, that if you criticize someone for an Avera, you better be careful with that specific Avera. If you yourself, if you criticize someone for something, Cherpasa Yashuv Alav, his Cherpa, this which he was Mevayish, Shlaima HaMelech, with a correct criticism, which he deserves Schar, the Gemara says, why was he deserving of Malchus? Because he criticized Shlaima HaMelech, he wasn't afraid. That Cherpa, that Busha Yashuv La'yadaynav, came back, Kadosh Baruch Hu threw it back at him, when he didn't deserve. What does this have to do with Vayivrach Yaakov? So let's see. Kedaber Ephraim Reseis. Next pasuk. Ephraim, again, is Yeravam in the Vod. He spoke with trembling. He spoke against Shloima. Nosahu be Yisrael. Because of that, he became a king in Klal Yisrael. Then, Vayesham Baba'al Vayomais. And he himself went off to Avodah Zarah. Baba'al here is a general term for Avodah Zarah. And Vayomais, and he lost it. He lost whatever he potentially could have had. This was a lack of betachin. Yeravam did not create a new religion out of conviction, which is a lot, true in a lot of points in Jewish history, where new movements were started, not out of conviction, but out of expediency. Yeravam didn't break from the Beis Hamikdash because he held the Beis Hamikdash is not right. He broke from the Beis Hamikdash because it didn't work for him. And he broke away. And that is the criticism of Vayivrach Yaakov. That, look historically, Yaakov Avinu, the whole Klal Yisrael came from a Siyata Deshmaya when he needed the help. He had nothing. And Klal Yisrael Mitzrayim had nothing, and Hashem helped them. And Yeravam, what are you afraid of? You have your ten Shvatim, you're afraid of being the second class Melech. That's why you go off and start something new. So that's the Dovah Pella that the Navi says. And then he says, Va'ata, look what happened. Once the ball starts rolling, Yesifu lachatai, the sins continue, Vayasu lehem asecha mikaspam, and they made, image, this is a golden calf. Now kaspam here, kesef is silver. We see here that kesef is money also. In modern Hebrew, but not only modern Hebrew, in the Gemara, kesef means money. Now, this is one of the sources, mikaspam here doesn't mean from their silver, but from their money, kitfunam atzabim masech harashim. They made an image, like the image of the eagle. Atzabim masech harashim kulay lahem heim oimrim zayv chei adam agolim yishakun. Now literally this means, those who will fight for Yeravam, they'll be able to kiss these agolim, these golden calves that became their new Avodah Zarah. Now, there's drush on that, which I do want to tell you, but the Behemshuch, the Pshat is that Yeravam broke away and started his own movement. He started his own movement, like I said, not out of conviction that it was true, but just to break away. Yeravam, the difference between Yeravam and Achav is that Yeravam meant to serve Hashem through these Agolim. Achav later was the first one to introduce, Achav was the first one to introduce real Avodah Zarah, it was later. But he went for this and he started something new. And it's in the eye of history, it's like the morning fog. Katal mashkim hoylech, like the dew in the morning which disappears. Kemaitz yisayer, like the sheaf which blows away from the gairin. Uka'ashon me'aruba. Now this repeats itself all the time. All the new movements and new religions that break off from Klal Yisrael, within Klal Yisrael, have their heyday. And they disappear. And the history of Klal Yisrael is replete with it. The tzedukim. And it's interesting, the Karoim, one of the most amazing things that I've read is that the Karoim, which lasted for a while, the Karoim movement lasted, there were Karoim in Lithuania till Hitler. Hitler really destroyed the last remnant of the Karoim.
Small numbers.
And then 10,000 people there were.
Considered itself at that point Jewish.
Karam always considered themselves Jewish. That's what made the Karam Karam. The Christians also came from the Bible, but they don't say they're Jews in the sense of Jews. But the Karam began with a dispute over who should inherit the Reish Galusa position. In Bavel, there was officially recognized Reish Galusa position. The Reish Galusa had died. There was a Reish Galusa and the Gain, or the Rosh Hashiva. The Rosh Hashiva had influence in choosing the Reish Galusa. And they chose one over another, one son over another. The son, I think his name was Hanan, was the one who didn't get it. And he was angry. So he went off and started his own committee to be Reish Galusa. He made up his own committee. The Caliph heard about it. And the Caliph appointed his brother. His brother's name, I think, was Yeshio. And he put Hanan in jail. Hanan was going to be hung, or beheaded was their way of doing it. by them. They only behead on Fridays. That's the part of the religion. So he was sitting in jail to be beheaded. And he was in jail together with, and I'm terrible with names, right there, the Sunnis, the Shuites, the Alawites, and what's the fourth group? The Arabs, the Turks are. What are the Turks? Not Sunnis, the Shiites. Anyway, not the Shiites, the Sunnis, yeah. The Alawites are the Syrians, and then there's a fourth group. The fourth group, there was a fellow there in jail also. He was thrown into jail for creating a breach in the Muslims. And the two of them, Hanan and him, got together, and they figured out a way to plead when they come to their court case. And basically what Hanan said is, I'm not Judaism. I'm not fighting. You appointed the Reish Galusa for the Haredim, for the Perushim. I'm a different religion. I'm the Karoim. He started a new religion, totally not out of conviction, but just to get away from the sword. And he really wanted to be the Reish Galusa. And when he was thrown to jail for trying to usurp it, so he started a new religion, which he told the caliph, he wants something between Judaism and Islam. That's why the Karaites have their Ramadan, they have their month of fasting, and whatever else they have, or they used to have. They used to sit in the dark, because they held that Les of Aroesh. Anyway, the point I'm making is that what happened with Yeravam is also Maaseh Avosim Labanim. It happened again and again historically, where new movements were started not necessarily out of conviction, but out of expediency, and then they took on a life of their own. If you read the Psukim here, that's what it says. It says that Kedaber Ephraim Reseis Nazar B'Yisrael V'Yeshem B'Val V'Yamais. We read already. V'Atoy Yisifulach Atoy V'Yaslam Asecha took on a life of its own. So the point is that the Avodah Zarah by Klal Yisrael, for the most part, didn't come from conviction to Avodah Zarah. It came from a lack of betochin that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could help a person. Yeravam wanted to be the top hancho, and that's why he started it. And Hanan, what? Hanan wanted to be. They have today in Yerushalayim, they have the Karait Shul. It's called Bet Hanan, that's the name. The Karait Shul is Bet Hanan.
They never have a minion.
They never have a minion. Really?
Okay.
They have a klola, they never have a minion. Because they hold you don't need 10 for a minion, maybe, I don't know. But anyway, the thing is this, that the theme of at least the first half of the Haftarah that we're learning tonight is the Vayivrach Yaakov Stei Aram, the lesson from Yaakov, and again, I'm telling you, Rashi in the Pashto Rishayim, is that you're supposed to learn from the Parsha the idea of a sense of Hashlech al Hashem Yehovcha. Yaakov ran, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of him. You're supposed to throw at Hashem your worries. It took him 14 years. He didn't make any money for himself for the first 14 years. He just worked for his wife. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped him. And Benavi Hel Hashem Yisrael Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim, the same thing. So that is the Musar of Hiches Ephraim Tamrurim. And the promise, L'chein Yiyu Ka'anan Baiker. The Navi is saying that they're going to disappear. The Ten Shvatim are not going to stay. And the Kachab and the Ten Shvatim didn't stay. And their whole Egel, in Basel disappeared. And that was the outgrowth of this, and that's where it comes from. It comes from the V'yivrach Yaakov. That's what the Navi is saying. Chazal express it, Le'ovdu b'nei Yisrael avayda zara elo lahat elohem arayos. Chazal express it that avayda zara was never a big yetzahara for Yidden. Maminim b'nei maminim. You know, it's one thing to not believe, to want to have fun and want to work on Shabbos is one thing. To go and embrace something else out of conviction, it didn't happen. It didn't happen. It happens sometimes at the threat of the sword that things happen, but not out of conviction. And it happened because of a lack of betachin. And I said I would test you on the 12 Nevi'im, Treyasa 12 Nevi'im. So I told you we're going to try to memorize them. The first one is Hosea. I gave you a simon. Yehoshua is the first of the Nach, which at least some of you know. Hosea is the first of the Treyasa. The last three Nevi'im, Achag, Yizkariah, Malachi, which I told you, I think they're famous. They're the only three, if they were breaking Nevuah, they're the Bayesheni. The beginning of Bayesheni, Nevuah flickered back. That was Chag Yizkariah Malachi. So that's 4 out of 12. So that's 10, 11, and 12. Chag Yizkariah Malachi. which is the ninth.
Tzvanya.
Tzvanya, the simin. The tzaddik is starts with a nine, and Tzvanya is nine, and the eighth.
Chabakuk
starts with a ches, which is eight. What? That's what I said, okay. So you memorized six out of 12. So we're going to keep the six out of 12. Next time we have Treyas, so we'll memorize the other six. But six out of them is easy, no? Hosea, Chabakuk, Tzvanya, that's not easy. Chabakuk, Tzvanya is eight and nine, and Chag is Chayav Malachi. So you have already all of them. Last time it was mentioned that Hosea is the longest. He's 14 prokem. Zechariah is also 14 prokem.
Zechariah is also 14 prokem.
Okay. Okay.